Steve, because as always, red lights on, petrol lamps off. It always been a bit. I like. Oh, it's me moving it.
It's always very professional.
Always a professional kickoff, like a well-oiled machine. Welcome, Steve, to this Brucemas Eve.
I was going to bring it up. I realise this is a...
The festivities have begun, Steve. Well, they haven't actually. I don't know why I've said that. What I have done, to the disgust of Gemma. We've got a bay tree at the front. Did I tell you this last week? Bay tree at the front. And the Christmas... Like, we put some lights out there for Christmas, you know, to put them on. Of course, it didn't really work, because there were solar lights. Not a good time to get any power of the sun, middle of December. So it didn't really work properly, but I didn't take them down because, of course, the bay tree doesn't start growing until about now. And I suddenly thought I'd put them on for Brucemas week. So I put them on Sunday, so they've been coming on every night. Jem's utterly disgusted. Brucemas lights on Roderick Road.
Do they actually spell out Bruce?
No, but I've upped it. To begin with, rather tasteful, just on. But now I've started turning them into that, you know, when they go psycho flashing on and off version, so that it's just like the lights getting more and more excited as the big day arrives.
Now, do you have a slick new haircut?
Well, that's brilliant, Steve, because it wasn't this week, it was the week before.
So oh, was it? So it's just brushed.
Probably just because I've had that crash helmet on.
Ah, okay.
I went to see Rex, as you know, Steve, but... not as good a mood as I should have been, because I thought he was going to make the Vespa work properly again. It's still a bit spluttery, a little bit knackered, feels like it's not quite got the same powers it used to have.
Then that's true of so many things.
Very appropriate.
A symbol for me.
But yeah, so, no, I'm getting into it though, because quite a lot of nights out coming up, out tomorrow.
21 again?
21 again, it's going to be tiring. Not that it's not a big birthday, but I'm out Thursday, Friday. I'm out Saturday. It turns out now I think I'm out Saturday lunch and dinner.
And this is not a big... Monday. So you're...
It's interesting. I have a suspicion. See, what happens is Gemma organises it all. And then it for two reasons. One, I think she quite likes, you know, going out and organising stuff. And then her birthday is in June. So I think what happens then, she's got very safe ground that I will fail to organise anything like as much as she organises for my birthday. And then she's in a happy place, which is profound disappointment. So, she organised all these things. I'm not that bothered, really.
Now, have you hinted at what you want?
I have hinted. I think I've forgotten what I've hinted.
Is it Kai Havertz back at Chelsea?
I can't make any football-related hints, and because of all this bollocks, I cannot. I'm not going to Tottenham tomorrow or West Ham on Sunday. I mean, a festival. They're both great games. I'm not going to do either of them.
Your most feisty games of the season.
Exactly, the most fun, because I mean, Arsenal's fun, but it's not quite the edge. Tottenham, Chelsea, always a bit of an edge, and normally we beat them. Even when we're shite, we normally beat them because they're rubbish. And then West Ham, that is just feisty. We're not going to beat them as well, but not. And actually, Paul's away. I was going to get Pikey Paul to come because, you know, he got me along all those months ago when I went to Pikey Town and they thrashed us. And it sort of foretold the season coming up. Because when you can't beat West Stratford United, you know your season's not going well. Mind you, they beat you, didn't they?
Don't remember that
they
far back.
They wobbled you, didn't they? Didn't they wobble you at Christmas?
This feels like a last year story. It's all about 2024.
Okay. They wobbled you. Yes, let's not reflect on it. Because yeah,
they did. That was a classic game where we had something like 40 shots on target. And then didn't win.
And you didn't win against Fulham either, and it actually recovered well.
That may even be the game where the ball clearly went out of play before Bowen put it in.
Yes, that's right. Did look without even I remember that.
And VAR couldn't get through the size of his thighs to see it, and therefore the goal stood.
Got big thighs, Bowen?
Does when VAR are checking.
I think you're body shaming people, just anything. For a goon, dodgy goal to be disallowed. How was your week? Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's go to last week. How was your weekend, Steve?
It was all very chilled, actually. Yeah. Saturday managed to just go round to a friend's for a spot of lunch.
Nice.
Brief pub visit.
What, pre's or afters?
Afters, just nice. To digest.
Yeah.
And then Sunday went to another... This time it was a pub lunch. A friend Aviv, who you've met at the... Aviv. He's now at the... I want to say the Prince Albert. What's the pub in Camden?
Fribourg Hill? No. Camden?
The, yeah, the one at the back of sort of Camden Street. I think, yeah, I'm sure it's the Prince Albert.
There's a lot of Alberts around.
There's a lot of Alberts.
Yeah, but I think I do know what you mean. Oh, right.
It's that little sort of green pub. Yeah. You go past the shrubs. You tackle the bushes. And then you realise there's a pub behind there. So we went there because he's been inviting us to come along while he's doing the Sunday roast.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And yeah, so went along.
Good?
Food coma.
So, well, yeah, so big meal.
Big meal Sunday roast.
Saturday and Sunday.
And that, of course, we won't go there just yet.
We won't go there just
but
yet.
But it was a celebratory St. Tottenham's Day
St. Tottenham's Day roast. I messaged you, didn't I? I think somebody else, Rich and Chris, were saying, come and watch the second half here. But it was quite an early... We do that occasionally if it's the late kickoff. So 5 o'clock on a Sunday doesn't feel too wrong. It's obviously it was a 2 o'clock kickoff, wasn't it? 3 o'clock on a Sunday, on the other hand. But it was all... Well, entertainingly, I said, Christ, it's all over at half time. Of course it wasn't, but we won't go there too soon because we need to talk about football in order. But what did I do for the weekend? I don't think I did much on Friday.
Well, if you don't remember last weekend, you're definitely not going to remember this weekend, so you should probably...
I do remember it. I did actually tell you what I did. There's sort of a bit of culture actually, Steve. The Pentameter Theatre. Have you ever been to that?
I have.
I have never been to that.
Almost on your doorstep.
It's on my doorstep. And what is Gemma said, I remember her asking about it, and it's basically a neighbour of ours wrote this play called something like The Curse of the Drinking Work is the Curse of the Drinking Classes. I think that's a play on something. Is that not something that... Wasn't that something Marx said? But that's too... Marx was after Wilde, Oscar Wilde, wasn't he? Because it was Drink is the Curse of the Working Classes. I think this play's called Work is the Curse... of the drinking class.
Sounds much more accurate to me.
More like Wilde to me as well. More sensible thing. But anyway, he wrote it, our neighbour, who has been touring the world with this play, it's a sort of one-man monologue, for 40 years. Well, unbeknownst to me, all this was going on. Anyway, Pentameter.
40 years?
He's been travelling for 40 years. His son actually told us about it.
So it's not a new play?
It's not a new play. 40 years old play, but he's basically lived a life where he gets invited all over the world, literally travelling the world. I don't think it's all he's done, but he has been doing a lot of travelling. And so we watched this play. I've never been to the Pentameter Theatre. Very funny. I mean, the woman who runs it is very entertaining. I mean, it's more thespian than the thespianist thespian you've ever seen. Very funny. And kept trying to work out who I knew. Most of the time, I think what she was basically suggesting was might have known the mate, the star, the actor, because he was very tall. That was basically what she was working on. But what was even funnier, it's the only time I've been anywhere for a long time, where I thought, I'm dragging down the average age of this audience by quite a lot. And it was brilliant, because we sat at the front on the most uncomfortable, crickety old dining chair ever, because we got late, obviously. And I tried to swap it with this guy with a walking stick next to me because he was on a lovely sofa. But he was very funny because I said, can you... I checked with the mate behind me, was also on a sofa. So I thought this could work for me because I'm tall. Block him out. I said, can you see okay there? But I think a moment he was about to say, no, I can't. I said, well, do you want to swap seats? But I think he worked it out and said, no, I'll be fine. So then I tried the guy next to me who'd already heard that exchange. And I said, do you want to swap seats? Because this one's incredibly uncomfortable. You said, no, I don't, actually. Anyway, I'm taller than you. I said, really? How old are you? And then he asked me how tall I was. I said, 6'4". He said, I'm 6'4¾". No, 6'4½". And I said, I'm actually 3/4, but I wasn't doing fractions. I basically had a very entertaining exchange with this guy who looked, and to be fair, I don't think he did, but I'd say 70% of the front row had a doze. And that was it. I was not ahead of myself. The reason that Gemma suggested it, and we went with friends, and I was not entirely convinced someone sit through a monologue of basically pretending to be Oscar Wilde in Paris after the Reading jail debacle. But she sold it with me, said, oh, I've just seen it. It's an hour long. I thought, that's my kind of theatre, Steve. Hour long.
I like 45 minutes.
45 minutes? You sound like Rich about this podcast. Although he is now saying 5 minutes is too long on this podcast. Rude that he is. So I think, I did really enjoy that, actually, because it was nice, and it was finished nice and early, and went into the horse.
I'm flabbergasted that the line, "Would you like to swap seats, because this one is uncomfortable," did not go down well.
No, he was, exactly, he didn't realise what I was up to, because I'd already, oh, fucking hell.
There's no padding in this at all.
And it's broken. Anyway, it was very good fun, really enjoyed it. The girl, tough gig, you just have to pretend to be Oscar Wilde for an hour.
I do find those kind of intimate settings for theatres can really go against you.
Yeah.
I can remember watching one, I want to say it was in that Unicorn pub in Kentish Town.
Yeah, there you are.
And it was a very intimate setting with about 20 of us.
Yeah.
And it got to the stage where the play itself, I can't even remember what it was about, but it was so boring. I started doing a sort of mind game thing of what could make a noise that I could not say was intentional. You know, like, will the seat creak?
What to liven it up?
Just to, you know, make things a bit edgy. You know, can I encourage someone to accidentally drop something?
Just to give us some fun, excitement. Maybe throw them out completely. That reminds me, that game we used to play, I don't know if you play this, we just had, you know, chairs, stackable chairs for assembly. And the game that he used to play that Dale Huntley was the world champion at was we had a quite pompous headmaster who was barely 5 foot tall, so double whammy, head teacher with issues. And well, at a game we play, we take it in turns, so it's not to be the one that was always getting detention or caned. But the game was you just lean back in your chair and then go over. So it slammed down and you'd stand up and go really apologetic. And of course he'd be furious because it meant you were swinging back in your chair, which Tony Saunders was never happy about. But the noise would, you know, jolt people awake. And of course half the teachers found him just as, because you could see they were sort of facing out, but you could see the look of utter boredom or incredulity on them, because he'd be complaining about things like, you know, not sure Nelson Mandela, you know, basically was a terrorist and stuff like that. You know, he was kind of, he'd say things that you'd watch teachers' faces jaw drop. Nobody doesn't like Nelson Mandela. What are you talking about? Anyway, that was a good game that we played. But I don't think you could get away with that in the theatre. Well, you could get away with that in the theatre. But the trouble is that with the sort of maturity now of age, you are slightly at risk of breaking your back doing that. That's the other thing.
I feel like you missed the opportunity to do what we discussed last week at the cricket and play some sort of Jenga with somebody asleep. Or what did
Yes, no, you're right. Saturday. Well, yeah, because I looked across. Lawrence was with. He was a few seats over, and there was a woman next to him that started chatting to him. I think that was the point. They were all chatting away. I don't know where they, half of them thought they were. Probably didn't even know what they were in a theatre. I thought they were just out for the night. But this woman next to him was chatting him up to begin with. She was out, absolutely out, mouth open. I mean, unfortunately, not actually snoring. But then I felt sorry for the actor. It was actually very good, don't get me wrong. It was very good. But these people were all in their 80s.
But you also must be able to see the audience.
Well, that's what I mean. But there was one point where I shut my eyes. I wasn't asleep, I was just resting them. And I opened.
That classic.
And I opened them, and he was looking straight at me.
That classic nugget.
Shit. He's probably thought, listen, youngster, you're the youngest person in the front row. Don't you dare fall asleep now on me. Which I don't, it's very good, so I don't want to complain about it. They weren't falling asleep because he wasn't interesting. Falling asleep because it's time for a doze. Cozy chair, warm. But yeah, that was good. And actually, Sunday just walked some stuff. But what I did enjoy was on Monday, of course, Monday night football was back. And I did re-listen to me talking about the game that I didn't go to, the grudge match against Tipping Velvet. But I've heard of quite a lot of updates on that match now, Steve. Obviously, Harry's not turning up to give us any of it. I did try and get Jem in, because he knows both teams, but he's working very hard at the moment. He started a career as a gardener, absolutely knackered. So he's doing his first proper job.
He's not at the pub anymore?
He left early. I see what you mean. No, he does work at the pub as well, but shifts. He does shifts there in the evening, and he does gardening. And I think because his wife works in theatre.
That's what happens when you've got twins.
When you have children, you've got to do 15 jobs just to afford the nappies. But he was telling me, and others who were there, I think I was going on about, you know, I think I may have slightly eulogised it as all that was good with football and it was all lovely. Turns out, quite a nasty football match, apparently. Because they went 6-0 down, they got a bit edgy and
And so everyone was saying, yeah, they were really bad. They were scything down people and stuff like that. And then Jem on Monday night sort of quietly said to me, I think he's Bruce. Quite a lot, some of our good players, like Harry and Kieran, who else did he mention? Nathan. They play proper, you know, Hackney, Marshes football. So they know how to do a little tackle, foul tackle that isn't obvious but irritates the other players. They didn't have players like that who understood. So they just hash somebody down.
But there wasn't a ref.
There was no ref.
So it could have been as blatant as you like.
Well, they were blatant. They didn't care because they knew they'd been slightly niggled, so they'd just take them down. So it did get a bit tetchy. So the revenge match is going to be a bit tricky as well, apparently, because, you know, they're out for revenge, obviously. Also slightly upset because it may have got into the paper. Somebody may have written a sort of letter about this game, and they're quite upset because they're claiming it was 11-9, not 12-8. So they're also arguing about the score line.
That definitely happens in a game where you make it up as you go along.
Okay.
Like our game on Monday where they lied about the score.
We definitely came back and beat them. Anyway, but also apparently they're really irritated and offended and want to know who's responsible for calling them tipping the velvet and referencing slurping their own bathwater.
I did see a reference in a local paper, actually, and they had to take that bit out, which I assume means they knew what it meant.
Well, apparently, I did check with Jem. I said, have they seen Saltburn? And they just looked at me in a sort of patronising, rather exasperating, yes, Bruce, they've seen Saltburn. They know exactly what you're talking about. And they were wondering where you were on Monday. So I think, back to, as we said last week, I think we'll be working away. 3rd of June, though, maybe do a warm-up.
Maybe you should have a whip around and pay for a ref. Or a local community bobby.
Or, more imaginative than that, put John Lawler, Jack's dad, in. Say he's a neutral ref. And if he doesn't start an actual fight, I don't know who would. He's basically walking... He's basically Dennis Wise with all the sort of finesse knocked out.
And not 5 foot nothing.
No, he's not. He's a bit taller than that, I think. He's a bit taller than Dennis Wise, like everybody else, apart from Tony Saunders. So, yeah, so it was really good. But, yeah, but Monday was quite interesting. And it was, yeah, it was fun. They were still buzzing about it, though, the lads. They were still excited. And so that was good. The football was quite interesting, wasn't it? Because you, I mean, were you relaxed at halftime?
I think it all went according to plan.
It was a bit wobbly at the end. How
I was quite relaxed at halftime and full-time.
Yeah, but that bit at 3-2 time, what were you doing like then?
Actually, what happened, and I feel like it got lost a bit on Spurs fans, was we're 3-0 up, Spurs realise their shit.
And relaxed.
And Arteta's like, oh, hold on. They've got to play City. So if we keep doing this, if we score 4, 5, 6...
Oh, my God. This sounds like sort of shite I come out with.
If we score 4, 5, 6, they're going to be demoralised.
Heads down.
So let's give them a couple of goals. Nothing serious.
Make them think they're in the game.
And when you watch, we gave them both goals.
Yeah.
Give them this belief that they're good enough to compete.
Yeah.
And then see what they do against City.
Brilliant. So we're basically putting Arteta into the sort of mind game genius as well as
why else would
genius.
We suddenly concede two goals against a team that is as poor as
still in, just in the corner of the room in the dark is the bottling man who's just in.
Did you see or hear rather the new chant for Havertz?
No. It can't be as good as our one.
I think it might be. I mean, it'll be a slightly lost on you if you don't remember Afro Man's Because I Got High track.
Oh, I do remember that, actually. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now there is a version that the Arsenal fans are singing, you know, which goes to the tune of that.
Yeah.
And it's...
Well, you're going to have to sing it.
I'm going to have to sing it, Steve. This is where we need Harry, isn't it? Yeah. The singer, so he can turn it into a punk version.
Yeah.
But it goes on the lines of... we were league runners-up, and then we got Kai.
Oh, I see. Yeah, not good. That's not bad. I'm always impressed with that. And I always love the way they come up with sort of 70s, 80s, quite obscure tracks for the music. That always makes me laugh. So therefore, inevitably, we've got old blokes coming up with these. Or something.
Well, this one is 2000, 2001 or something.
When I Got High, it was 2000.
Yeah, this was like
ago.
It was sort of like for us, I don't know if it was written especially for, but it would have been in something like the stoner movies of, you know, like Jay and Silent Bob and things like this.
Cheech and Chong, the ones I remember, they were.
But definitely, if you haven't heard it, it must be on YouTube by now.
Of course it's on YouTube.
Because we got Kai, and because we've got Kai, we've
you're gonna win the league.
Tottenham's Day is...
The trouble is with Tottenham Day, that it used to be a lot earlier than this in the old days.
Well, I checked the table, actually. Not that you need to when it's so apparent. And there's a 20-point difference. So I'm not quite sure why it's still ongoing.
Yeah, why it took so long. I felt like you'd already passed it.
I felt like we had.
Because what? But 4 games left, that's 12 points, and you're 20 points ahead of them.
3 games left.
3
games, nothing. 4 for you, because obviously... Now, the question is, and we kind of know the answer... On the same weekend, not this weekend, the weekend after, should Arsenal win against Bournemouth? I should probably not be too complacent and assume they have already.
At home to Bournemouth. I've got some goons in my team for that basis, I thought.
So if they win that, and then they go to Old Trafford and win there because we play first, that afternoon is then Tottenham versus Man City.
What, the final game of the season?
No. Penultimate.
Right.
Are they going to be trying?
No.
What's the atmosphere going to be
you
like?
You know, you've got no hope, really, of Tottenham stepping up ever. But certainly not when it's actually more beneficial to you than them. Because they're out, aren't they? They're fifth. They're not going to be fourth.
I mean, I'd love to see the atmosphere if Spurs took a 1-0 lead. Because I imagine you would have 60,000 fans booing.
What the fuck are you playing at? Exactly. It's terrible, isn't it? But you do hope the players would...
Well, they've done it before, of course. I remember we needed them to do us a favour. I think it was at Old Trafford. And they took the lead against Man United. And it very quickly unravelled. Almost like the two teams were shooting in
the
same
direction.
The only
thing is, your mate, what's-his-face, from the Tottenham manager...
Postecoglou.
Yeah, you like him.
Ozzie Paz.
Yeah, Ozzie Paz. So he might...
I want to be naive and think, okay, if we've actually beaten United and that game becomes more pivotal, he doesn't strike me as the kind that's just going to let his players go out there and down tools.
And I don't even know these days will the players be that alert to the fact that getting Arsenal to win the league...
100% they will. They know already.
They know, right,
yeah, they know. So the question is, every single stop they make between now and then... They're going to have some sort of spud creeping out of the shadows to say, don't you dare win this one.
You can win that and you're in trouble. Who have City got this weekend?
I think Wolves at home.
Yeah.
I think ultimately Arsenal lose the league by 2 or 3 points.
Yeah. It's a shame because you've done such a good run in now, but they are terrifying, City, the way they kind of... And of course, Haaland's back.
And, as Paul Merson said, it's a little bit like taking on Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
And the only thing, I suppose the real frustrating thing is we obviously finished runners-up to City last year.
Yeah.
And if that happens again now, and we're still talking about a club that could well be docked their entire Premier League status.
So you could win 2 leagues if they absolutely...
It may have a cut-off. They might say, well, you'll get these points, but anything you've done after 2020 still counts. So you get to keep that. But you've still essentially lost... to a club whose foundation is built on cheating, if that's what they come up with.
Yeah, it's irritating, and it sort of reminds me a little bit of my... Now, the good thing about the weekend, and we'll come to Chelsea in a moment, because obviously we were robbed, but the good thing about the weekend, of course, was Liverpool cocking up again. And what's even better, I think, you know, is Klopp really a great manager? Because he's not ever won the Premiership, as we have established on numerous occasions here, Steve, because the COVID one doesn't count. And similar to what you're talking about, their Champions League win doesn't count either, because no final of any competition where you beat Tottenham counts, because that's not proper competition, is it? You're not, you know, that's
yeah,
not
I mean, it's the equivalent of the League Cup. That's what it was.
As soon as Tottenham get your position, it's... The values, whatever competition you will, like you said, and it should by rights be the League Cup. The fact they bumbled their way into the Champions League final, Christ.
I mean, what they should have got for winning it was a place in the Europa.
Yeah. So therefore, taking out those two, all they've done is got a few FA Cups off Chelsea, and I think we've established Chelsea seem to have a bit of a problem with Wembley at the moment, so we don't seem to be able to score a goal there. So, all this talk, he's a great manager in comparison to previous.
you know, the Liverpool greats of the 60s, 70s and 80s, he's actually a bit average.
But there's obviously a lot of spotlight now on whether Klopp messed up by making it so apparent he was leaving.
Yeah.
I mean, the assumption was you'd get this kind of gravy train farewell tour.
I think he thought, he deludedly thought, this is it. It's going to be a parade of my genius. And actually, all it's been is, well, good job you are leaving, because if you weren't, if you hadn't announced you were leaving, some of the owners would probably think, not done an awful lot. We're going backwards, really.
He's probably done them a bit of a favour, because you can definitely see a tired, you know, him and Salah having that spat. Everyone's a little bit
idiots. And I think that, actually, to be fair to him, which is unusual for me, I don't know how you do keep it going. I mean, how,
you know what,
Wenger and Ferguson kept it going for 20 years.
I think
it
reeks of this, you know, couple that have decided they were going to move in together because it was going to go swimmingly. Find out it doesn't quite work. Yeah. And then until you get that final transfer of your stuff back in a box, Klopp and the players look a little bit like, oh, look, can you just go already?
Yeah. She's still here.
Why are you here?
Told you to clear.
Well, we've moved on.
Yeah.
We're seeing someone else. They are seeing someone else. And Harry's not here to tell us if he's happy or not.
Well, I overheard him. I think he was telling me that he's pleased with him. He's pleased with him because he plays good, assertive football in the right way. And Harry has lost it, actually, not least because he never turns up to this, but also his Instagram account is just things like, I mean, given what I was doing last week, he's just doing pictures up about, you know, six times and stuff like that. He's basically, and going on about how they've got more titles than anyone else. And he's basically the smacks of somebody who's, you know, put their fingers in their ears and going na 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 na, so they can't hear the harsh reality is that they're a very far distant third.
Well, the interesting thing, I mean, if we assume the whole transition thing is real, they've just taken themselves off the table for two or three seasons at least.
Yeah. Well, because that's the other point, actually, despite that, all that said and done, that's quite an old squad, isn't it now? The good players are all in their 30s now, the really good, the world-class players. What's Van Dijk?
30?
Yeah.
31, maybe?
Salah's 31. I've got a couple of youngsters, but there's a rebuild job to be done there. And I'm hoping the owners won't want to spend any money. Because hopefully they'll pay attention to the fair play rules. It doesn't do us any good ignoring them. So, I think that was good. Chelsea, bizarrely. I don't know if you watched that game. I didn't watch it at all, but the highlights was a bit bizarre. 2-0 down. And then 2-2, and should have won, because there was a sort of dodgy, he sort of pushed him in the area. But it was the sort of thing I've seen not given, but VAR stepped in. So our 3-2, another injury time winner, was disallowed. And all of a sudden, people, neutrals, it has to be said, say, yeah, Poch will do it, he'll turn them around. Okay, based on what? What is that based on? Coming back from 2-0 down.
I mean, you played well, and you fell into the Villa tactic, which we obviously did fall into, of just absorb the pressure and then there'll be loads of space to counter. And that put them 2-0 up. The fact that they weren't good enough to hold on to that, it's probably more their doing than Chelsea's. Yeah. It's frustrating because that's now, having lost to them twice this year, that's the team that stopped us winning the title.
Yeah. But actually, in their defence, the Gallagher goal was one of those goals you think, well, someone's going to do that, they'll score a goal. And most players will do that once or twice.
Or is he going to be doing that next season?
Don't. As he's our, definitely after Palmer, he's our next best player.
I'm starting to, obviously Palmer's not going anywhere yet, so that, I'm starting to think, are you really going to be able to sell James? Does anybody want sort of like a
knackered... No, probably, he's too injury prone. Chilwell, similarly, very prone to injuries.
They're not going to be money raisers, because anyone who buys them is going to say, look, we're taking a chance.
And they're not, I agree. I think you're right. I think
so. That means Gallagher's probably the only asset you have, who, and Modric you probably could offload.
Yeah, but we paid quite a lot for him anyway, didn't get him.
But you'd have to agree someone to take those wages.
Yeah. I obviously sat down but that bothered to actually go through the maths. I don't see, maybe they will just say, well, we just have to, bung somebody the FA or the Premiership, you know, do the usual good old school fashion of just bribe our way out of it, as we speak, City are doing, and then batten down the hatches and hope some of these youngsters come good.
Well, look, like every club bar one in the top flight has the same mantra of it could be worse, you could have Ten Hag.
Well, that's the other thing. That's the thing about United is, I mean, they are really poor because they've spent almost, and obviously everyone talks about Chelsea, but they've spent almost as much.
Oh, he came out again, didn't he, and said that they were the most entertaining team. And
There's a point about that, I suppose. You're right. We are laughing at them a lot, which is a form of entertainment. And I told you, a bloke was embarrassed in Manchester when they got through against City, Coventry City, I should say. So, yeah, there'll be hope. I mean, hope against hope. They get really humiliated by Man City in the final. But, or maybe not, because somebody said if he wins that, Hag will be kept on.
No chance. I think if they won that final 10-0, I don't...
You think he's gone?
I think he's... If the club have any aspirations, you can't keep somebody who's that deluded in the hot seat.
Well, did you see that headline as well? They're all up for sale. The entire team's up for sale. All that motivatory. But then, of course, maybe it's a genius move, because you're right. I know never, a couple of occasions when members of our squad were kind of... it's the famous Rooney was the best at it, wasn't it? They're either up for sale or their contract's up for renewal, and all of a sudden they play out of their skin for 5 games because they either want to be bought by somebody decent or they just want loads more money where they stay. We don't seem to have any of those now, because we've got all of ours for 8 years now.
It's the idea that I could be sitting here and look at both Chelsea and United and think out of those two squads there is one player who I think would get into the Arsenal squad.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I think maybe with us, Palmer, Gallagher...
Gallagher wouldn't get into the Arsenal squad. He's a good player. Reece James is too injured. Fully fit, it's a different story. He wouldn't get ahead of Ben White. Benjamin White, but...
Oh my God, he's singing all the songs. I think he's slightly deluded. I think Gallagher would get in.
What, in place of Odegaard?
No, but someone else.
Declan Rice.
Someone else. Another one.
A third one. Yeah. Thomas Partey. We're going to sell Thomas Partey in the summer.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll get Gallagher in.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think of that. True. Yeah,
get Gallagher in for 40 million. He can come
Declan,
off.
He's probably mates with Declan, isn't he? Because they grew up together.
Well, Fernandes must be, because they had this bizarre thing last summer where they all started using their time off to train.
Yeah.
So. I wouldn't want Fernandes, by the way, either. No. By United Fernandes, not Chelsea.
Oh, the Chelsea.
I wouldn't want
either,
to be fair.
But bizarrely, also, who he is good mates with, who's had a really bad time, and you thought leaving Chelsea is a genius move for anyone, unless, of course, you're Mason Mount, and you made a massive mistake going to Man United.
Did he want to go?
I don't think he was that keen. I think it was... I sort of had to sell someone to fund all the other nonsense that was going on. I don't think he was that keen. Or maybe... Yeah, but... It's not worked, has it?
It's kind of strange in the sense that he went from Chelsea's future to their saviour to United, which would be seen as a big move. And now you wouldn't be shocked if one of the promoted clubs maybe tried to buy him to give him some game time.
Yes, a touch, yeah.
And then is he really going to rebuild and remind people how good he can be, or do you end up in the Championship?
Yeah. He's better than that, but he did... You do worry, you're right, his head's running because it's all now.
Once your head goes, and
it's all psychological.
But to be kept out of a team that has the likes of Anthony.
I know.
And whose star player is McTominay.
Yeah. It's not like struggling to get back into the City or the Arsenal side where you think, yeah, that's the trouble, you're in there for a bit. And people
like last season, Foden wasn't getting in the United, the City side, and you kind of thought, well, look, you've got De Bruyne and Silva ahead of you. You kind of can see an argument.
It's not that at Man United.
He's not getting into a side that looks crap anyway.
I know. Terrible. Right, and also the other shock horror of last week, and was, I think I did message this to you as well. I got excited. I thought, I'm on it. I'm doing my transfers for the week, and I'm taking into account the various double extra thingy games, what have you. Turns out I hadn't got it on in time, but then also hadn't realised I was now changing my side transfers for this weekend instead of last weekend.
You've done it already.
So I've cocked it up completely.
Which is quite impressive.
It's quite... I mean, thinking this far into the season, it was sort of a mistake would have been acceptable early. Still isn't in the 52 transfer points Harry League. But it's not great, because I was thinking, look, and of course, then of course got back to my team for the weekend against Villa. I thought, hang on, none of my transfers have gone through, but I definitely confirmed it.
And realised it was the 1 week. They'd already put me into the week I could transfer. So well, then I can't do anything. So at least I suppose I've done it now.
But I think that's probably... I got really caught up in the gamesmanship. This is how disturbed I was by the North London Derby, is that I dropped... Because there was teams that had a double game week,
yeah.
I dropped Saka for one window earlier this season. And in that window, he's played twice and scored two goals in each game. So on Friday... Yeah, and then on Friday, I thought, you know what? When I haven't picked Saka, he has had a blinder. So I'm going to take him out for the Spurs game, so that if he has a blinder again...
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. And he got a goal and an assist. Man of the match.
Yes, I think he ended up being subbed into my side. I think he saved my poor week, because it would be absolutely dreadful if it wasn't for Saka. Because I've got him, but he wasn't... I don't think I had... I thought I had him playing, I didn't have him playing.
It's very rare that I'll take a player out deliberately thinking if they get points, I'll still be happy.
Yeah, that is tragic. That is the tragedy.
That is up there with putting your left sock on first.
Yeah. It's sort of... It's like Harry concerned that if he's out of the country, Liverpool won't perform, because what's the point?
Didn't he once say that he doesn't watch a Merseyside derby unless he's at his mum's?
He does something like that, doesn't he? He also said, yeah, they're good friends, but then claimed that when they were playing, they were watching a game where Everton could have got relegated, they were all sitting waiting to let off a load of red flares in a house, if they had this. That's, I suppose that's the beauty of the Scouser friendship. It's still what the rest of us would call arch-enemy behaviour. Good. So, I mean, this is the trouble now. It's almost limbo, isn't it, now? Because all we've got...
Speak for yourself.
Well, no, I mean for Arsenal, because it's sort of... You need City to... Obviously, you need to keep winning, which you're doing, but you need City to stumble.
I think we've been... I mean, look, every fan that may not win something feels unlucky, but for City to not have one obviously hard fixture left at this stage feels a little bit...
Because Tottenham was at home, isn't it?
Because, look, I'm sure that they say there's these algorithm, deep purple style things that do the fixtures. They must have thought, okay, towards the end, City will probably be there for interest purposes.
You're right. Why not?
They should have.
Why not? I suppose they'll say, but they did play Arsenal quite near the end. But even why the last four games?
Four or five games to have no real challenge. Tottenham, I mean, look, maybe if it was City and Liverpool, Tottenham away would suddenly be... Okay. But now we know that that fixture is 99% not going to be taken seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless we lose to United or draw at United beforehand, then that game suddenly becomes something. Yeah. People will say, oh, Tottenham in the Champions League, but...
Well, they're not going to be, are they?
They're not going to be.
They're 6 points behind Villa?
Yeah, Villa look quite... shaky.
Oh, yeah. In fact, they couldn't only draw with us. Mind you, they're in elite company now with Sheffield United and Burnley recently. So, you know.
Of course, Sheffield United are finally gone.
Also happened. Why they felt the need to take a point off us, 2 points off us, Christ only knows. But yeah, so they've gone. What else was I going to say?
Should probably congratulate Leicester.
Leicester, that's it. Steve turned up. Leicester Steve. He supports Leicester Steve, as you know, not you, the other one. And he turned up on Monday because, of course, they were playing. I wouldn't understand what the. They didn't have the telly. Normally, they have the football on. But Tay, who works here, who's always entertainingly calls me by my surname, she said, apparently Leicester in the Champions League. Because Leicester Steve turned up and he was appalled that the footy wasn't on. The rest of us hadn't even noticed that they weren't on. So he wanted the on, and of course it was to win the championship. That's what. So we saw that. That was quite sweet, because Vardy scored a pair, didn't he? He looks slightly less ratty now, is that? He's been living the good life in the championship.
He's in that Swan song, isn't he? He knows one. I think I just read he's got a year extension, so he'll have one more Premier League.
Will that cover the cost of his wife's legal costs?
I am going nowhere near that. I shall leave that for Bruce, just in case the voices were confused.
Ratty a lot of money, that. Poor sod. But yeah, so that was nice seeing him all jumpy about. And it was nice to see him all about. And Steve had a couple and was trying to get us all to sing Championes at 9:45 on Monday night in the Gypsy. And actually we joined in, because in the end, just seeing one happy Leicester supporter makes us all realise how relevant, you know, relative life is. But yeah, they got promoted. No, they didn't, but they've got a point.
They need a point, don't they, from the last round of games this weekend.
And actually, whilst I want Leeds up, because they're entertaining to play, on the other hand, quite entertaining if Leeds in a playoff in Wembley. Because they'll disgrace themselves in that, won't they? Their fans, I mean, not the players, I'm sure they'll be fine. So that'll be quite fun. I suppose there's all that coming. That's the trouble, I suppose, with Chelsea. There's nothing... Really, I suppose it is just local honours of beating Tottenham, beating West Ham. Not even sure who our last game's against.
You've also got a manager who probably wants to prove he's worth another season.
He's in the balance, isn't he? I don't think he's...
I think if you lost all your remaining games...
He'd go.
They'd probably say
if
okay.
We won them all, they'd probably think glimmers of hope. I'm not sure, if I'm really honest, which one will happen. But as everyone says, well, who would you have instead? And there's nobody obvious, is there? There's no one obvious that you see. He has got, you know. I think maybe, to be fair, to give him two full seasons, feels sensible, doesn't it? That feels like the right thing to do.
I think financially, by default, you have to anyway, don't you? Can't afford to get rid of him.
I think he is on an issue. I thought, imagine, they obviously thought, this is great, we can just... The cost is spread out over 8 years, and no one went, yeah.
But I mean, I'm always a bit torn. I quite like Poch most of the time, and then he says stupid stuff about data and all of this, and you think, okay, I just give up. I suppose you're desperately trying to keep your job or something. But to walk into a dressing room where you know everyone's on 6, 7, 8 year contracts, you can't do anything. You're essentially...
I thought it was interesting. You're right, all of that is absolutely right. But what was interesting was that they did come out in the second half against Villa. You thought, well, something has fired them up. They were definitely energised. And I don't know if it was technical genius, but they definitely were unlucky in the end not to win it. And you know, Villa's a good side. They don't... You know, I think they've got the best defence or something, haven't
they? No, that would be Arsenal.
But like I have the faintest idea. Right, so any other business? We've talked about the Goons. We've talked about Monday Night Football. We've talked about fantasy football. I've cocked up. I don't know, which game? Hang on. Actually, is this still game week? Wait, this game tomorrow that Chelsea playing with Tottenham, is that still game week 36? What game week?
You were so close.
35.
It's 35. Had you said 35, I would have been like, he's up to speed. He's keeping
this thing. We've done too many of these. So what does that? Is that this week? So we haven't even shut down the game week 35 yet, because this game.
So I think
game,
You
bought some.
I brought Son in as captain, and I was chatting to a fellow goon who was like, "How can you bring Spurs players in?" And I was like, it has nothing to do with the Arsenal game. It's we'll Chelsea, beat them left, right and centre. Mm. It's all about the Chelsea game, because if the Chelsea that we've seen turn up, it could be a good game for Spurs.
It could be, but I don't think... I think because it's Tottenham, because it's at Chelsea, because it's all, you know... I just, in a funny way, I would not be surprised if we don't do something quite extraordinary, like beat them quite well. Because I think Tottenham have slightly lost their way. They've kind of gone off the ball now. The fact that I just don't think they're going to win the fourth spot.
Well, I think they're 7 points behind, so it's pretty much gone, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm assuming Arsenal's deliberate exit from the Champions League so that fifth place. Yeah.
Genius, that.
That was another masterstroke from.
Right up there with Arteta.
From Arteta.
So they let them score two so they're a bit more fired up against City. I mean, genius, that Arteta.
I mean, yeah, he's just ahead of the curve, you know, he's thinking.
Good, excellent. And are you? Who have you got? You got Bournemouth.
We've got Bournemouth at home.
Are you going?
I'll be
to
there.
That?
Yep. Good early lads. Kickoff.
Anything else planned? Anything else exciting for the Bank Holiday weekend?
You know, it's the very tail end of June. June. You know the film remake. Now I've put off seeing the sequel until The Last Embers. It's on the cusp of coming out of the cinema.
Oh, and you're going to go and watch it.
I don't know, it's like 3 hours. It feels a long... If the sun is out, which is probably not,
because it's a bank holiday weekend.
It's a bank holiday weekend.
Rain will arrive probably Friday at about 5 o'clock.
Surely we all have to binge this baby reindeer thing that everyone is raving about.
Oh, yes.
Because of the Camden connections.
Yes, I've read about that.
So maybe we all have to binge that in unity, the NCS Netflix binge.
We'll have to be... Little Radio also heard on numerous, from different, very different sources, that apparently on binging, apparently The Gentleman's very good. Have you watched any of that?
I haven't. I saw the film and I'm assuming it's a kind of spin-off.
Well, it is, but it's not. That's what people say, because a lot of people who actually aren't big Guy Ritchie fans say that's what's interesting. But Guy Ritchie fans love it, but non-Guy Ritchie fans actually, it's better, and it's better than the film. Because it's a bit more nuanced, there's a bit more layers to it. I mean, I hadn't seen the film, what I'm talking about. But I did think, God, that's a few people. And also my neighbours in it, that's it. So I'm just thinking if I... Because I'm not very good at...
He's getting a very impressive CV now.
He's doing
serious stuff.
There's two neighbours, they're a couple. And they're both doing very well, actually. They're both... different members of the family. Well, they're not married. Member of the couple. Anyway, so you're right. And let's not forget, it's Brucemas weekend.
So
you have to exchange gifts with your loved ones.
I feel bad that I've so far not got you anything.
Well, there's time. It's basically a festivity. It's, you know, it goes on for about a month, so you don't worry about it.
I suppose I could buy you a Chelsea shirt with Poch on the back.
Poch. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I've got to get through it, actually, because I look quite tiring now. And then as I was leaving just now, Gemma talked about having to go out to see her parents. So this looking like a Brucemas thing to be doing. Should I get out of any of this?
I'm not sure that the...
You're missing both the Chelsea games.
I feel like those two Chelsea games should have been the essence of your celebration.
I don't know. I'm going soft. You know what it is?
It's your biggest...
I think what it is, I'm going soft, and I'm thinking previous seasons... I'd have been slightly more determined. I think maybe I'm thinking, we've got a lot of, on the WhatsApp group, we've got 4 season tickets, and so 4 of us with them don't want them. There's probably another 6 or 7, and quite a lot of the young, you know, kids basically get excited. So I'm thinking it's quite nice for them, good for them to immerse themselves in what it's like to support a team when they're pretty shite, that when they come good again, you can enjoy it more.
If you're going to abandon this very important race to be London's second best club.
Well, no, I don't think. See, I have a bad top. No, I don't think we can catch them.
I'm fairly sure you can't. But no. That's still what's at stake. Is
no, you're right. I think. Oh no, you're right. And I'm actually a bit miffed. I would have forced. I mean, it was just because it is my birthday. I thought, I can't say yeah, happy birthday to me. I'm off to the footy. That would have gone down badly. If it'd been the other way round, it'd been West Ham on Thursday and Tottenham on Sunday. I think I'd have been going to the...
I'm sure somebody out there with very little of a Google search will have done a separate table for London clubs. And you must be able to get second or third in that.
For season. London clubs? Well, no, because Arsenal and Tottenham are top 2, so we'll be third. Well, I think we'll be third. I don't think we've got... I don't know. None of the others, the usual culprits like Fulham or Brentford... All those pesky pairs that you've been going up top. They've all been a bit shite this year, haven't they? They're not. They're all safe, I think. I don't think any of them are at risk of being relegated. Because Palace had a late run. Excellent work they've been doing.
But yeah, the rest are all safe. So, but they're having said all of that, none of them
are. It's quite horrendous having that number of London clubs in the Premier League, isn't it?
Matt, well, I told you, didn't I? When we were in Bayern Munich for the Champions League, the first time we won it, Steve. In Munich, they called us Chelsea London, because like Bayern Munich. And one of them did, when these Germans, before the game obviously, when they were friendly and just thought we were entertaining lambs to the slaughter, they would be quite chatty and buying us beers. And they were saying, oh, how many London clubs in the Premiership? And then it was 5, and they could not fucking believe it. They could 5, and I listed them all off for them. It was mad. Now it's 7.
It's a bit ridiculous.
It is a bit weird, really, because it seems strange that no, you know, quite big cities. I suppose that's the trouble, isn't it? In the past, you'd have had about 2 or 3 from Birmingham, but now it's just going to say something. Oh no, I was about to say it was just Birmingham, just Villa, but actually Wolves is technically Birmingham, isn't it?
Yes, it's a. I mean, don't forget you've got the seven London clubs and Brighton, who seem to want to insist that Palace are their
rivals. The A3, is it the A3 rivalry? Or whatever.
So, you know, and considering how many Londoners have moved to Brighton.
It is Brighton, you know, on the sea.
They're almost adopted.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It's not good. Right. Well, that's been a pleasure, Steve. I've been calm.
Yeah, nice, relaxed. We should...
That's what I see. I mean, we're sort of... It's a calm before the storm again, isn't it? All we need, and we really do need, even if it doesn't ultimately mean anything, it would just be quite nice if City dropped a couple of points.
We all want to see Arsenal win the league.
We don't necessarily want them to win it, because I said that to another Arsenal supporter. He said everyone loves goons, and then I suddenly found myself thinking, yeah, as I said last week, it's coming back to me now how obnoxious goons are if they do win something. It's been such a long time, I'd sort of forgotten. 20 years, but actually they'll be unbearable. But I definitely do want a bit of excitement, so I think City dropping some points, and I think even still, they say boring to win the game. And I don't
Ideally, it's asking a lot, but if Wolves could do something this weekend, it would be really handy to have it prior to the Old Trafford trip, because we all know what's going to happen. I'm saying this with such confidence, I'm barely even mentioning Bournemouth, so Solanke will no doubt score a hat-trick.
There'll be little goons with tears going down their cheeks.
We'll be sitting here next week talking about how Bournemouth ended our season.
When they go for the sort of kiddie crying shot... It's you, Steve. Wouldn't it be brilliant if you, with your little pink cheeks and tears running down? That would be superb. That, I'm afraid, will be going on the Instagram account if that happens. Brilliant. Good to see you, though.
Always a pleasure.
And I'll see you next Wednesday. I think that works.
If you've recovered by then.
If I've recovered by then, if I've managed to make it through the festivities.
And the good news, of course, is that while your Vespa isn't working, the pension card is on the way.
Pension card is on
the way. You'll be able to get that free bus.
Don't get that free bus. I've got quite a bit of a way off from that yet, but I'm going
to keep pushing these back to this.
It's like retirement. I won't be doing that ever either. But yeah, you're right. Good. Cheers, Steve.
Take care.
Next week.